Remain standing and turn over to two areas once again. Ephesians chapter 6 is one area. The other area is 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2 and Ephesians chapter number 6. Of course, Ephesians chapter number 6 is where we have been primarily throughout this year talking about standing. Mm-hmm. Ephesians chapter number 6, I'm only going to read one verse there, and that's going to be verse number 17. This particular month and last month, we've been talking about standing for the Bible. Amen. Standing for the Bible. Ephesians 6 and verse 17 says, "And take the helmet of salvation," notice this, "and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." Ephesians 6:17, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And then over in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. And we're going to pick it up at verse number 6. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2 and verse number 6. "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught." And before I continue on, let me give you a bit of introductory remarks. Paul is writing to a church that he himself had established. This church was at Corinth. Corinth was in Greece. And Paul is writing to them because they had some problems in the church and had some issues going on. And so he's writing both. He's addressing problems and answering questions as well. Chapter 2 in particular, he begins to break it down and talk about how things can only be understood spiritually by the Holy Spirit of God, because they were acting carnally. So let me pick it up there in verse number 7. "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his," notice that, "Spirit. Yes, sir. For the Spirit," notice that, "searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God," notice this, "knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth," comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God," notice that, "for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." So in chapter 2, Paul begins to let them know that spiritual things can only be understood by the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God is in them if they're saved. They had a problem with understanding some things that were going on. And Paul says, obviously, you're either not saved or you have spiritual issues. That's why in verse number 1 of chapter 3, he says, "I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto," what's that word? Spiritual. "But as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." I'm going to talk today to you about what's needed to understand the Bible. What's needed to understand the Bible? We've talked about many, many things. We looked at what the Bible is, what's in the Bible. We finished up last week with what the Bible does. Today, what's needed to understand the Bible. To understand the Bible, the Spirit of God is necessary and is needed. And I believe that we live in a day and age where people don't believe that that is true. They think they can just pick the Bible up and read it and understand it. Certain things you can. Other things you cannot. Why? It's a spiritual book. It's a spiritual book. Read verse 14 again with me. "But the natural man," okay, y'all read that with me together out loud, amen? All right, here we go. "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." Father, speak to us today as we look at standing today. Our theme all year long has been stand, and a need to stand. Lord, work in our hearts and work in our lives. Help us to understand that we're in a real battle. The devil does not want us to understand the Bible, but it is by the Bible that we get saved. It is by the Spirit of God that we understand that same Bible. So, Lord, help us today to understand that there is something necessary, something needed to understand this great book. And, Lord, speak to us plainly, speak to us spiritually, speak to us convincingly. Lord, that when it's all said and done, we might say it's been good to be in the house of God. But most importantly, that maybe there's one here today that if they were to die, they are not sure that heaven is their home. Holy Spirit of God, convince them, convict them of sin, and then convert them to be born again today. Lord, at the end of the day, it's all about the gospel. Jesus died for sinners. He was buried and rose again the third day to save us. And thank you for loving us that much, that you want us to be in heaven. Open our eyes today. Open our hearts. We may attain a blessing from your word. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You may be seated. Ms. Natasha is going to sing. Amen. Thank you, Natasha. Thank you, Jesse. I just want to be where you are. Amen. I tell you, I want to be where the Lord is as well. I'm so glad that whilst we are here on planet Earth, His Spirit is with us. Amen. And so although bodily we may be here, the power of the Spirit of God makes it all worthwhile. Amen. And I'm so excited about that. Talking about Standing for the Bible Month, we talked about that last month, this month as well. And today we're talking about what's needed to understand the Bible. What's needed to understand the Bible. You know, I don't speak Spanish, but I understand certain things about Spanish. Nachos, I can understand nachos. I can understand that. Amen. I can understand that. Cinco de Mayo, that's on the calendar. Amen. Tony has a special day to Tony as well. Amen. So certain things about Spanish I understand. But if you were to dialogue with me in Spanish, I wouldn't be able to talk to you a whole lot. By the way, I don't understand Chinese at all. I don't understand the letters. I like the food. I know that. But Chinese does not compute to me. To understand a person speaking Chinese, you must know Chinese. So it is with the Bible. To understand the Bible, there are some things that we need to understand. And I think that we, as people in general around the world, think that this is a great book, and it is. But the average person thinks, well, I can just pick this book up and it'll make sense to me. No, it won't. It won't. It won't. You say, preacher, surely it will. No, we're going to talk about that today. This is a two-part message. I'll give you the first part today, and then we'll get the next part next week. Personal preparation is necessary, first of all. So let's talk about that, first of all. Before doing just about anything, personal preparation is needed. Ladies, how frustrating is it to bake and not have all the ingredients? You want to make bread and you have no flour. You want to make bread and you have no eggs. And so before baking, preparation is needed. You've got to have the right ingredients. You've got to have the right things in the kitchen. Before leaving the home, preparation is needed. How many of you ever left home without your keys? Amen. Preparation is needed. You need to know where you're going. You need to have your keys. And so preparation is needed before leaving your home. It's needed before baking. What am I saying? Preparation is necessary before doing just about anything. Before going shopping, preparation is needed. If you don't have a list of what you need, you will get things that you don't need. How many of you ever went shopping and you didn't have your list and you came home with everything but what was on the list? Amen. You got what looked good at the time. And by the way, don't shop when you're hungry. That's a bad time to shop. Everything looks good when you're hungry. Amen. Even stuff that you don't like looks good. Before making repairs, preparation is needed. I had a problem with my faucet the other night, and I went to go fix it. And a half-hour job turned into a two-and-a-half-hour job because I wasn't prepared. I didn't have the right tools. I didn't have the right assistant. My assistant went to bed on me. And I didn't want to call my wife in because, you know, ladies don't get dirty with that. I don't get, I need my assistants. And I didn't even have the heart to get them out of bed. And finally, after about an hour or so of struggling, my wife said, honey, do you need help? And my wife came over, and within about 5 minutes or less, it was almost done. Now, if I had my prepared help, don't point at him, amen, helpers, it could have been done. What I'm saying, before the repairs were necessary, I needed to look and make sure I've got everything, including my helpers. I had the parts, I had the tools, I just didn't have the peoples. Before going in the sun, preparation is needed. You need sunscreen.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
Just like the other things, attempting to understand the Bible is no different. Preparation is needed. You're not just going to pick this book up and understand everything that's in it. And so we're going to talk about that today. What's needed to understand the Bible? By the way, there is no book more important than this book.
Amen.
Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth is the acronym, B-I-B-L-E,
yep.
Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. You need this book, and you need to understand this book more than any other book. You say, what about my car manual? You can get by without your car manual. What about my microwave manual? You can get by without the microwave. What about my oven? You can get by without that oven, but you can't get by without this book. If you don't understand this book, this is the book. This is the book of books, amen? Now, you may say, well, I don't like that book, but this book is going to judge you. I can't understand that book. Well, you better start understanding this book. Because it is this book that is going to contain life or death for you. And me.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen, Pastor.
What's needed to understand the Bible? Let me give you some help here. Some of you know these things already, and I'm glad you do. But others may need this morning. And I thought, since we looked at what the Bible is, and we looked at what's in the Bible, and we looked at what the Bible does, we need to look at what we need to understand the Bible, because I fear that not only born-again, blood-washed Christians can understand the Bible, but anybody that has the proper understanding of what it's needed can understand the Bible. Now, you may not understand the deep things, but you can understand the basic necessities. By the way, all of us in here know the sign that has a big circle with the X through it. It means keep out. All of us know the sign of the skull and crossbones, don't we? That means danger. So we know we can look at a sign and we can see the guy touching electricity and kind of like this. That means don't touch that. We know if you go down to Florida, it's got a picture of a crocodile crossing the road. We know what that means. If we see a deer on that picture, we know what that means. If we go camping and we see a picture of a bear there and with a sign, do not feed, we know what that says. We can understand that. So it is with the Bible. There's just some basic necessary things that you and I need to understand when it comes to the Bible in order to understand the Bible. First of all, what's needed to understand the Bible? The first one is personal possession and salvation is needed. Personal possession and salvation is needed. You must be born into the family of God by rebirth, not just birth or membership or baptism or good works or even good intentions. It is by the new birth. By the way, the Bible tells us in Ephesians 2:8-9 that it's by grace alone that we are saved, through faith alone and Christ alone that we are truly saved. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so a personal possession and salvation is needed. John 3:3 says it this way. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Yep. 3:7 says, marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. 1 Peter says it this way, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. John 3:16 says this way, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Titus says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Say, preacher, what are you talking about? There's certain things about the Bible that you're not going to understand unless you possess salvation. By the way, there's certain things about my family that can only be known if you live in my family. If you weren't born into my family, there are certain things that you can't understand. If I were to say to you, we're going to the building, your minds would race. You'd say, what in the world is he talking about? But if you were born into my family, you know what the building is. Besides my family, anybody know what the building is? You don't have a clue.
That's right, Pastor Dawson.
Unless you've heard me talk about the building. You see, she knows. Now, if you're not from my family, you don't know what that. If I say, we're going to the garden, you say, I come to the garden alone. No, we ain't talking about that garden. But if I say, hey, Tanya, we're going to the garden. If I say, hey, Fee, we're going to the building, they know exactly what I'm talking about. To you, heifer is a milk cow. But in my family, that's not what it was. And so if we called somebody a heifer, that was one of us. If they did something, God knows, we'd say, you heifer. But if you weren't in my family, you wouldn't understand that.
Right.
Insulting, exactly. Okay. Made the cow look bad, amen. And so to be born in my family, you know, if I said we're going to the building, that was a janitorial building that we went to clean up. If I said we're going to the garden, that was an acre of land that my dad had that we had planted crops on that we would go and we would harvest from that. But see, if you're not born in my family, you don't know what those terms mean. And see, if you're not born again, you don't know what the Bible means in certain terms. Certain things you will know, other things you won't know because you don't have the Spirit of God.
That's right.
Amen. In my family, even Joshua and G2 know, we say Wayne. They know exactly what we're talking about. That's our version of saying shame on you. You've done something that's shameful. Or somebody got the best of you. And we'll say, Wayne.
There we go.
Somebody got the best of you. Joshua got it good. Joshua, Wayne. And he had added some intensity to it. Wayne.
Daddy
was Wayne.
We
used to say that when we were kids, and it just kind of crossed over into my family. And so, see, if you're not born into God's family, there's certain things about this book you're not going to understand. Just like being born, Serge is from Canada. I'm sure there's things in his family that you wouldn't know, have a clue about. Pastor White's from North Carolina. There's definitely some things about him you're not going to know about. Especially he talked about going to the field and going to harvest crops and whatnot. It's not going to make sense to you. What am I saying? You've got to be born into God's family. You've got to possess salvation, understand this book. Folks, that's the first and most primary and basic of things. You must be born into God's family to understand this book. Mm-hmm. Now, he'll let you understand certain things, like John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten. He'll let you understand that.
Amen.
But to get beyond that, to get into some deep things, mm-hmm. it's not going to make sense. No more than it would making sense not being in my family. Mm-hmm. What am I saying? One of the first things that we need to understand the Bible is to be born into the family of God. We must possess salvation. It is necessary. It is vital. It is needed. The same principle with understanding the Word of God. It all begins by being born from above into God's family. Not only do we need to understand the Bible, or we need to have personal possession and salvation. Paul is writing to this group about their possession of the Spirit. The second thing that's needed is personal power of the Spirit. Go back over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 with me, if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. What's needed to understand the Bible? First of all, personal possession and salvation is needed. Second of all, personal power of the Spirit is needed. The average person thinks they can pick up the Bible and just read it like any other book. However, it's not just any other book. It is the book of books. It is the Word of God. It is the Scriptures. It is the Holy Word of God. It is what God has transcended time with. It is God's revelation to mankind. It is God talking to man, letting man know that he's lost and he's on his way to hell. But God in his love wants to rescue him and in mercy save him. It's God's Word. He wants to restore us. He wants restoration. He doesn't want ruin. He wants restoration. And it's God's word. But notice what it says down there in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. The natural man there means the unsaved man, the man that doesn't know God, the carnal man, the fleshly man. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. And notice that's a capital S. It's the Holy Spirit of God. Why is God going to deposit his Spirit in someone that has rejected him? You say, well, I've not rejected him, but you haven't received him either. So the natural man, it says, or the unsaved man, or the carnal man, or the fleshly man, is not going to receive any things of the Spirit of God that are deep things other than his knowledge that he's lost. Now, he'll receive that. He will bring conviction. By the way, hold your finger there. Go to John chapter 16 with me real quick. So, preacher, if I'm not going to know the things of God or the Spirit of God, what will I know? John chapter 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Who's the Comforter? Holy Spirit. And when he is come, who is he? The Comforter, the Holy Spirit. He'll reprove the world of sin. Sin you will know by the word of God. And of righteousness. Righteousness you will understand. And of judgment. You will understand judgment. Friend, let me tell you something. Before I got saved, I understood I was a sinner. I understood of the judgment that was coming. I understood that I wasn't righteous. I didn't have the Spirit of God, but I understood that I didn't have salvation either. What am I saying? He said, when he has come, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, he's going to reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. If you have not trusted on Christ, that's you. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. He says, I am righteous. And of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. Satan was judged at the cross. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Why? You don't have the Holy Spirit. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into what? All truth. Why? For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. What will he do? He shall glorify me, Jesus said, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. Friend, let me tell you something. One thing that you will know, you'll know you're a sinner by this book. You'll know that Jesus Christ is righteous. Whether you accept it or not is up to you. And you'll also know there's a judgment coming. Everybody knows there's a judgment coming. Some just refuse to believe it and accept it. That judgment is death. My Bible says death and hell will cast into the lake of fire. Everybody knows that's coming. Everybody that has a brain knows I'm going to die at some point in time. But the Bible says after that, the judgment. What am I saying? You may not understand all there is about the Bible, but without your personal possession of salvation, you will not have the power of the Spirit, which means you won't understand anything but that you're a sinner and in need of a Savior. Why? The wages of sin is still death. The gift of God is still eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the Bible still says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What am I saying? God will let you understand what you need to understand. And that's that you need to be saved. But the deep things of God you're not going to understand. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. Notice verse 10 of chapter 2. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, Holy Spirit, capital Spirit, a capital S Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. See, I can know the deep things of God when I get the Spirit of God. For what man knoweth the things of man save the Spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Why? The Spirit of God searches your heart. And he reveals to you. The Bible says, the Word of God is quick and powerful. And sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's the Spirit of God searching through the Word of God. What am I saying? The power of the Spirit is necessary. It's not just any book. It is the book. And the natural man receiving not the things of the Spirit of God, their foolishness unto him. That word foolishness means silliness, absurdity. It's silly. You talk to scientists, they say, you mean to tell me the earth was made by God? Yes. You mean to tell me that God made something out of nothing? Yes. You mean to tell me he took the planets and hung them out in space on nothing? Yes. You mean to tell me the stars and the moons and the earth all orbiting? You mean to tell me that God did that? Yes. You mean to tell me that God made me and I didn't evolve from some ooze or slime? You might have been. Amen. You believe something like that, you might have been. It takes more faith to believe that foolishness than to believe that God created. Because you got to believe in billions and billions and zillions and trillions of years, and it all happened by accident. And just do the math. Just do the math. They say that order came from chaos. Well, let me just do this. Order comes from chaos. Y'all see the tissue? So they're saying that order came from... So this is the tissue. So they're saying that order comes from chaos. Turn into some planets. Order comes from chaos? Can I get a living being out of that? Can I get a human out of that? I can't even get dirt out of that. Because there ain't no dirt. I got to make the dirt. So where did the ooze come from? Where did the slime come from? It takes more faith to believe that than it does to mean that God created the heavens and the earth. And I'm made in the image of God. It takes more faith to believe that. You take anything you want and you throw it up in the air and find if order comes from that chaos. Hey, even in your family, we're talking about family turmoil. In your family, if somebody doesn't come in and set that family in order, i.e. God, i.e. the Bible, i.e. the daddy, i.e. the mama, i.e. the children in obedience, guess what? It's going to be in chaos. Amen. Somebody's got to set an order. God has set an order. It takes faith. To them, it's silliness. It's foolishness. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. God's not going to give it to him. Amen. Would you entrust your most precious thing to somebody who doesn't care about it? My son says he wants a Veneno. What is that thing called? Lamborghini Veneno. Now, will you trust Pastor White with that?
Yes.
You had to look back there first. Pastor White gave me that look. He ain't going to trust too many people with it, though. Got to afford it first. It's foolishness. The natural man receives not things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them. Why? The Bible says, because they are spiritually discerned. The things of God are discerned or understood or determined or scrutinized or searched out spiritually. And if you don't have God's Spirit, you cannot get them. No more you can understand Spanish or Chinese not having studied it. Folks say, but I'm spiritual. The Bible says, try the spirit, see whether they have God. Everybody's spiritual, just it depends on what spirit you are of. Everybody's got a spirit. There are familiar spirits, demonic spirits, and there's God's Holy Spirit. There's only that one and this one. And man's spirit, if it's not regenerated, is part of that devil's spirit. Because that's what he says, man's spirit. Notice down there in verse number 12. Or 11. For what man knoweth the things of man save the spirit of man which is in him? That's the spirit. That spirit's got to be regenerated. That spirit's got to be saved. That spirit's got to be come in. The Holy Spirit's got to take that spirit over and govern that spirit and guide that spirit when he comes in, when he gets converted. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Hey, what am I saying here? What does it take? What's needed to understand the Bible? Personal possession and salvation is needed. Personal power of the Spirit. I'm spiritual. I hear people say, oh, I'm spiritual. I'm spiritual. And your point is? Well, we're all spiritual. We're all God's people. No, we're not. We're all God's creation. But the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things come. God created, yes. But everybody's not a child of God. Amen. Hey, you got to change parenthood. You have your father the devil, Jesus said. If that were true, if we all had the same father, Jesus wouldn't say, you have your father the devil. I've got to change parenthood by having personal possession and salvation. And then and only then I understand sin. I understand righteousness. I understand judgment to come. I understand that Jesus died for me. He was judged for me. He was buried for me. He rose again for me. And understanding that I must be born again. And then and only then I get the Spirit of God. Now I can understand more of what's in the Bible. We read the verse and take the helmet of salvation, Ephesians 6:17. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. My sister is a doctor. It's difficult for me to understand the deep things of her medical books that she has. I can understand certain things like blood. Blood makes sense to me. Cut makes sense to me. Scalpel makes sense to me because they've used it on me before. But when she starts talking some of those medical terms in that medical book, I'm thinking, but guess what? You get another doctor, pick that book up. Oh, this is this, and this is this, and this is this. And they make it sound so simple. So it is with the Spirit of God. You get somebody that's got the Spirit of God, that's saved, that's full of the Holy Spirit of God. They can get that Bible, and oh, this is what it says, this is what it says. Oh, they make it sound so simple, don't they? But you get someone that's unsaved, unregenerated, even somebody that's a carnal Christian, and they stumble and fumble over things. To me, it doesn't say that. To me, it means... I like Pastor Bennett's definition. What would it mean if you didn't exist? By the way, it only means one thing to the people that wrote it. It may have many applications, but when Paul wrote this letter to Corinthians, it only meant one thing to them. Amen. It didn't mean a billion. Well, to me, I see it from this perspective. We're not asking about your... What did it mean to the people at Corinth? They were carnal. They were in sin. They were doing things wrong. Paul writes and he's trying to correct them. He said, your problem is that you don't have the Spirit of God working in you because you're carnal. You're like somebody unsaved. So you can't understand what the Bible says. That's what's needed. Amen. Hey, we want to look at these books and say, well, I don't understand that. What was it written for? Who was it written to? Why was it written? What was Paul trying to say? Before you can answer anything else, know why it was there. Then you can make the applications afterwards. Because it's going to have many applications, but it only says one thing. What am I saying? It's difficult for me to understand the deep things of the medical field, the dental field, the engineering field, without some extra training and help. The Spirit of God is our help. When we saw Ephesians 6:17, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, it's the Holy Spirit's sword. He makes us understand its power. One of the things needed to understand the Bible is God's Holy Spirit. Romans 8:9 says it this way, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be, the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, the Bible says he is none of his. That means you're illegitimate. We have a word for that. And the Bible quotes that word. But Romans 8:9 says you've got to have the power of the Spirit. There's got to be personal possession of salvation, the power of the Spirit. He is responsible for moving men to write down the Word of God, who wrote the Word of God down. And now he helps us understand it. The Holy Spirit is our teacher when it comes to the Bible. John 14, 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, which we just saw, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I have said to you. Notice that. He shall teach you all things. Who's the teacher? The Holy Spirit's the teacher. But if I don't have personal possession of salvation, I'm not going to have that power of the Spirit. So what's needed to understand this book? The Holy Spirit of God. Holy Spirit of God. Luke 12, 2, Jesus said, the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour which you ought to say. 1 John 2, 20, John said it this way, but ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. Clearly, it's the Holy Spirit's ministry to guide us into understanding the Word of God. 2 Peter 1:21 says it this way, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And Timothy is encouraged in this way. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is powerful for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. What's going on here? The Holy Spirit's job is to help you and I understand the Bible. Not only does he give us power to witness, or not only gives us power to win souls, he gives us power to understand the Word of God so we can do the will of God.
Amen.
Amen. Thirdly, what's needed to understand the Bible? Personal possession and salvation is needed. Number one, you must be born again. Second of all, personal power of the Spirit is needed. You must have the Spirit of God, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Thirdly, personal persuasion in the Scriptures is needed. Personal persuasion in the Scriptures. Say, preacher, what do you mean? You must be fully persuaded in the Scriptures' ability to tell you of the purposes and plan of God for our lives. Now, you may have questions about this book, but you can't have doubts about this word. I still have questions about this book, but I don't have any doubt that God saved me. I got a lot of questions. God, why? God, why? God, why? Why? God, why? I got a lot of questions about this book, but I don't have any doubt that who wrote this book and who is talked about in this book, and who saved me that's in this book, and whose spirit I have that's in this book. I have no questions about that. I am fully persuaded in this book that it is the book, the only book that I need for this life and the life to come. What am I saying? Hey, once you have that personal possession of salvation, and then you've got the power of the Spirit, you've got to be personally persuaded in the Scripture's ability. Persuasion in the Scriptures is needed. We must be fully persuaded. It's not just a book, it's the book of books. Romans 10, 17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In Hebrews, I like the way they said it, but without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Notice that, that he is. That he is. He exists. He is. And he is the one who he says he is.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
He is. You can believe a whole lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
But you better believe that he is.
That's right, Pastor, that's right.
You say, well, I think he is.
Don't worry.
Thinking he is and knowing that he is two totally different things.
Yes, sir, it is.
Must believe that he is. It's not based upon you. It's based upon him who is. Jehovah God, the self-existent one. He is. He said, before Abraham was, I am. I always existed. I need no help existing. By the way, I need no help believing in myself.
Amen.
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 Folks say, well, I think I'll believe in God. Don't do God no favors. He don't need your help. He is God.
He does not need your support. Now, he would love your worship, but he's not going to demand it. Must believe that he is. And that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I like that. We must believe that God is, God can, and God will teach us his word and his ways. We must have personal persuasion in the scriptures. Paul said he was fully persuaded in 2 Timothy 1:12. For I know whom I believe, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hey, you know what? I know that God has saved me, and whether I go by the undertaker or the upper taker, I know he's coming to get me. Amen. I'm going to be raptured out. I fully believe that. If I die and go to the worms down there and they take my body, I know I'm getting a new body. Say, preacher, how do you know that? By the word of God. I know I'm getting a new body. I know my Redeemer liveth, Job said. Paul said, I know whom I believe. What am I saying? Personal persuasion is necessary that this book is the book. If you don't believe this book is the book, you got problems. You try to huckster this book and try to make it say what you want to say to fit your lifestyle, you got problems. You want to try to take out certain things that God has already said is abomination, you got problems. You got problems. You got big problems. Well, I don't think there's anything wrong with those things. God thinks there's a whole lot wrong with those things. And I'd rather agree with God. Amen. Folks say, well, I think that book is just all full of blood and guts. For God so loved the world. A lot of blood and guts in that, isn't it? That's because you don't understand the book.
Well, God just killed all these people off, and he's supposed to be the God of love.
Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourges every son whom he receiveth. You just don't understand this book.
Well, God contradicts himself, because over here he said Esau he hates, and the other one he loves.
You don't understand this book.
Well, God said that you shouldn't have any relationship with your brothers and sisters. And he created Cain and Abel, and they had some reason with their sister. And how are you going to explain that?
Well, I don't have to explain it. God already has. Amen.
Amen.
And by the way, I had those questions too.
Yes, sir.
And God gave me the answers to them by his spirit.
Yes, sir.
By his spirit. What am I saying? Personal possession and salvation is needed. Personal power of the spirit is needed. Personal persuasion in the scriptures is needed. I must be fully persuaded. J. Edwin Hartel said, we should never put a question mark where God puts a period. Amen. The word of God guides from Genesis all the way to the fulfillment of the completion of Revelations. Amen. What's needed? The power of the Spirit. That's what's missing oftentimes. Folks trying to make it say what it doesn't say without applying its principles and understanding the Old Testament, the New Testament, the Gospels, the Acts, why it all comes together, why it's there. Want to make it say what it doesn't say. You can't do that. You better have the Spirit of God. Paul wrote to the Corinthians. He said, look, my friends, my brothers, I got a problem with you because you are carnal. You're not understanding what I wrote down. There's an issue with your understanding because you're not in the Spirit of God right now. You're carnal. Mm-hmm. Personal persuasion in scriptures. Give you this last one. We're going to quit. Not only is personal possession and salvation necessary, personal power of the Spirit is necessary. Personal persuasion in scriptures is necessary. Personal passion to study is needed. You're not going to understand calculus just by having a calculus book. You're not going to understand chemistry just by getting yourself a chemistry book. You're not going to understand sign language by giving yourself a sign language book. Well, I bought the book. You bought the book. But that's what people think. But I bought a Bible. Well, first of all, you better make sure you got the right Bible. That's another issue. We're not going to get into that. That's on Wednesday nights. Amen.
Amen.
But you better get the right Bible. Amen.
Amen.
Hey, but what I'm talking about, folks say, well, I got a Bible. And your point is, do you have personal possession and salvation? Hey, do you have the power of the Spirit? Hey, do you have these things? Are you persuaded in the Scripture's ability? Well, if you don't think so, then don't waste your time. Amen.
Amen.
You better know so. You better know so. I know who I believe. What am I saying?
Amen.
Personal passion to study is needed. There must be a genuine passion to know God better, not just to have a passive notion. The average person will tell you they want to know God better, but they do nothing to know him better. Hey, let's break it down. I can say I want to know my wife better, but if I don't do the things necessary to know her better, I won't know her any better. I can say I want to know my children better. If I don't know anything, know them better. I'm not going to know them any better. If I want to know God better, then I need to do something to know God. I need to study God. If I want to know my wife better, I got to study my wife. The Bible says, husbands, dwell with your wives according to knowledge. It means knowledge, to know, to study. I've got to observe. I've got to get with them. If I want to know God, I've got to study to know God. Yes. Amen. Amen. Did he indeed create the earth? Yes, he did. How did he do it? Well, find out. Find out. It's more than just a passive notion. Anyone can casually read the Bible. However, we tend to study what we truly want to know and are interested in. My sons have these car books with all the latest and the greatest fancy supercars. And, man, you see them going through that. I mean, I even got caught up in it, too. I said, man, these cars go fast. One car was going 300 and some miles. I said, is there a car that goes that fast? Glory. Then I watched it on TV with one of these car racing things, and it clocked the speed. I thought, that car went 300 miles an hour? I thought, glory. How much does a car like that cost? Then they gave me the price tag, and I thought, no wonder I didn't know anything about that car. Because I can't afford it. How much gas does it take? Hey, man. I said, no. But my son, they got all these cars out there. And they keep all the stuff that tells you about the car. It does this and it does that and it opens up this way and it goes this way and does that. And does. They know about their cars. Hey, if you really want to know about something, you're going to study it. Now, we're trying to get them as studious in their studies as well with that. And they're working on that. Amen. Put a car in front of it. Amen. What am I saying? Anyone can casually read, but we must study. The Bible says, study, show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Approved means that God is pleased with what we're doing when it comes to searching and knowing him. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Have you ever seen a baby that didn't want to eat? The only time they don't want to eat is when they're sick or there's something wrong. There's got to be something. But a normal baby wants to eat. And a normal baby will fuss if they don't get fed. Even older babies will fuss if they don't get fed, like some of y'all. I mean, I go past 12:30, folks. Come on, preacher. Come on, preacher. I'm hungry. Get grouchy and grumpy and whatnot. I give Brother Dunn grief to this day because the day that I got saved, it took me 2.5 hours to get saved. And I said, I bet you had a pot roast on, too. I said, it probably burnt, didn't it? He never confirmed nor denied. But what am I saying? We have to desire God's word just like a baby desires milk. Baby's got to have it. Can you go without the word of God? No, you really can't. Some try. Some try. And they become malnourished just like a baby would. Notice the passion needed to study. Psalm 119, 8. 18, the psalmist said, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Psalm 119 and verse number 10, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandment. Notice the passion, the passion. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things. There's some passion in there. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Hey, the only way you're going to get something in your heart is to put it there. Amen. Hey, you go to take a test. The only way you're going to know what's on that test is to take the information that's needed and put it in your heart. And you take the test, unless you're cheating, which you can't do with God's word. Amen. Hide it in your heart that you might not sin against him. Why? When you come up to the temptation, when you come up to the area, when you come up to the decision, when you come up to whatever it is, you can say, hey, I've got the word of God. It's in my heart. I'm not going to sin against God because God said no. Joseph said, how can I do this great this thing and sin against God? What happened? He had God's word hidden in his heart. Daniel, it was said, Daniel purposed in his heart that he might not sin against his God. He didn't want to defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, so he requested that he might not defile himself. What happened? Daniel purposed in his heart. What am I saying here? Jeremiah 29, verse 13 says it this way, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Notice that passion, all your heart. All your heart. I mean, how many of us went to the marriage altar half-heartedly? Well, I think I love you. Let's get married.
Well, I think I like you a whole lot. Let's get married. Come on, me and you. Here's my ring. I'm not going to give my ring to nobody half-heartedly.
Amen.
I'm going to put my whole heart in this because this is what I'm going to spend the rest of my life with. I'm putting everything in it. I'm giving it all. Hey, how much did God save? He saved all of me, so I'm going to give him all of me. And with all of my heart, I need to search him. What am I saying? Passion is needed in my study.
Amen.
Of the one whom I'm studying. Sometimes I watch my wife. She doesn't know I'm watching her. And I'm studying her, watching what she's doing, taking notes mentally, and I'm studying her. Then I come back and I talk about certain things. Now, she doesn't know I've been studying her. The Bible says, hey, husbands, dwell with your wife according to knowledge. And so I've got to get some things and some note-taking. She does this, and she does this, and okay. And I try to stay out of her way. I know the things that set her off, and I try to tell the boys, now, don't do this, don't do this, don't say that. And turn those cartoons off. You know she doesn't like that. Amen. But Dad, you watch them. I'm married to her. I can get away with it. Amen.
Amen, Pastor. Amen.
You shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. 1 Chronicles 28:8. And now, therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the congregation of the Lord and the audience of our God, keep and seek for all the commandments of the Lord your God. What am I saying? Personal passion and study is needed to find the gold nuggets of God. Now, folks, that's just first part of this. What am I saying? You're not going to just pick this book up and understand the deep things of God. Paul said, hey, look, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them. They're foolishness unto him. Mm-hmm. Why? They're spiritually discerned. He said, but you know what? Those that have the Spirit of God, God's going to let them understand.
Yep.
By the way, if God's going to be gracious enough to you to save you and to give you his Spirit, don't you think he wants you to understand his scriptures?
Yes, sir, Pastor.
So that you can please him. You know, my wife and I, we leave notes for our children. We don't want to put hieroglyphics down. You know, an eyeball and a foot and a toe, and all these signs. They're like, what did mom and dad mean when they wrote this letter? You know, eye, toe, knee. Like, what does this mean? Just say, dump the garbage. Look out for each other. I mean, write them. God did the same thing with the Bible. What's needed? Personal possession. And say, I must be born again to the family of God. But before that, I must repent of my sin. I must repent of my sin. I must recognize that I am not allowed in God's family with my sin. I've got to recognize I'm a sinner. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. And I've got to be willing to turn from my sin and turn to the Savior and say, you know what? Sin was bad. Sin is going to kill me. It's going to send me to hell.
Mm-hmm.
But the Savior already died for my sins. He was buried and he rose again the third day for my sin. I want to be saved. I'm a sinner. I deserve hell because the wage of sin is death. But I understand the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I want to be born again. I'm turning my back on my sin. I'm turning to my Savior. I want to receive new life in him. I want to be born again because Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.
Amen.
And my friend, once you repent of your sins and receive forgiveness of those sins, you can be a possessor of salvation and get the power of the Spirit and be persuaded in the scriptures and then have a passion to study and know God a little bit more than you did before. What am I saying? We're talking about stand for the Bible, but I want to understand it first. There's some things that I need, and I do trust that you have those things in your life. If you don't, I invite you to come. Let us take this same Bible. Those that have the Spirit can understand it a little bit better. Let us take a Bible and show you how to be saved. Man, woman, boy, or girl, won't take much of your time, but we want to make sure that you understand there's more to the Bible than just having it. It doesn't make you spiritual just to have one. It's a good thing to have one, but you need to have what's in it more than you need to have it. But you got to have it first, then take what's in it, apply it to your life, and be what God wants you to be. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed and we're looking around. Talking about standing for the Bible. Maybe today, under the sound of my voice, you're here. Maybe you don't have the understanding that you need in the Bible. Perhaps it's because you're not been born again. Maybe there's a question in your mind. Maybe there's a doubt in your mind. Today, we want to help answer those questions. Today, we want to help
with those doubts in your mind. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around, just for a moment. Father, bless now these next moments in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one looking around. Perhaps you would say today, preacher, I'm not sure if I died I'd go to heaven. I am concerned about it. Would you pray for me? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one's looking around. Would you raise your hand? I want to pray for you. Just raise it up. I'll acknowledge it. And you can put it right back down, right where you're at. I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. I'm concerned about it. Preacher, would you pray? You raise your hand. I'll acknowledge your hand. You can put it right back down. Man, woman, boy, or girl, all across this room. I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. I'm concerned. Pray for me. Anyone like that at all? Just you're amongst friends. We love you. We care for you. I won't come and pick you out. I won't call your name. I'll simply acknowledge that your hand is up and you can put it right back down. Man, woman, boy, or girl, how many would say, I'm not sure. Heaven is my home, but I'm concerned. Preacher, pray for me. Anybody at all? Next, how many would say, preacher, I want to understand the Bible a little bit better. Would you pray for me that I could really get that passion? I'm persuaded that the scriptures are there, but I need to have that passion. You know, my life is so busy, and I get caught up with so many things. Pray that I can have that passion, because if I have that passion, I know I'll get into it. Would you pray for me? How about you? Raise your hand. Amen. I see a few hands. I see another hand. See that hand? I see those hands. Amen. Amen. I see that one in my back on my left. I see that. Amen. You may put them down. Folks, if we're honest, we all could use a little bit more passion in studying this book. And by the way, this is the only book that reveals the mind of God and the heart of God and the heartbeat of God. Lastly, preacher, I need to get baptized. I need to join this church. I need to get involved. Maybe that's you. Preacher, pray that I can make that move. Maybe I need to do those things. Amen. I see one hand. Is there another? Father, you see the hands that have been raised. Some saying they need to get involved. Others saying they need passion. Lord, thank you so much for the passion that some have. And Lord, thank you that we can have passion, but we know we could always have more. And God, in this busy life, we know we can get tied up with so many things, jobs and children and careers and so much. Even service to God can be something that can crowd out our passion. But Lord, help us to find that quiet time to still, along with you, with our salvation, with the Spirit's power, and Lord, with the scriptures, and help us to have that passion to study your word. Thank you for these that raise their hands. Lord, bless and give them that study time, that order, that schedule, that allotting of the time, that seeking first the kingdom of God that they may need. Work in us, work through us, and grant that time that we can be passionate about your word amidst our busy schedules as well, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. As Miss Natasha played, maybe you raise your hand saying there's a need in your life today. Maybe you want to come down to an old-fashioned altar. Pray that God would give you the passion that you need. Maybe you need to get that persuasion that the scriptures is all you need. Perhaps today you need to come and say, preacher, I need to be born again. I need to possess salvation. I need to have the power of the Spirit. Maybe that's you today. Would you come? Maybe you'd say, preacher, you know, I need to join this church. I need to surrender for baptism. I need to be born again, preacher. If I died right now, I'm not sure heaven is my home. I really want to be sure, but I'm wavering. Let's take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. Friend, let me tell you, God loves you. Jesus died for you. You can be saved today. Would you come? Let's take a Bible. I want to take a few minutes of your time. Well, preacher, I'm so unsure. I don't know about this. Well, you know, I didn't know either. But I knew one thing. I didn't want to go to hell. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Perish is in that place called hell, but have everlasting life. Praise God for it. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So let's take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. How about it? Personal power in the Spirit only comes with the possession and salvation. You must be born again. Persuasion in the scriptures is needed.
How about it today? Passion to study is needed. I want to know God better. I want to know God's plan for my life. I want to know His purpose for my life. I want to know what He's doing in my life, my husband's life, my wife's life, my children's lives, my parents' lives, my co-workers' lives, my boss's life. But it all starts with me first. I must be a possessor of salvation. I must be born again. Had you been born again? Oh, don't leave without getting that settled today. God loves you. He wants to save you. What's needed to understand the Bible? It's more than just having the book. It's more than just reading the scripture. It's much more. It's knowing and possessing eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's having the King of glory. It's having Jehovah God live in your heart. It's having forgiveness of your sin. It's being spiritual and not carnal. It's being the spiritual man, not the natural man. Would you come? Father, thank you so much for your goodness. Oh God, we do pray that you would give us the understanding that we need. Maybe there's one that needs to be personally born again. God, speak to that man, that woman, that boy or girl. Maybe there's one that, Lord, that needs that power of the Spirit. Speak to that man, that woman, boy or girl. Lord, maybe they need that persuasion in the scriptures that it is the Bible. It is the Word of God. Oh Lord, persuade them by your Spirit's power. Then maybe it's the passion and study. God, help us to orchestrate and organize our schedules to make time for you, who are the most important one who gave us time, that we might be what you would have us to be. Lord, help us to leave here differently than when we came in, a little bit more knowledgeable about what's needed to understand the Bible. And then, Lord, help us to do that which we know we need to do. Thank you for loving us. Bring us back. You can see the sermon DVD on Nothing Shall Offend Them, and give us a sweet afternoon of fellowship one with another, with our families, and the rest that we need as well. And we'll, Lord, in Jesus' name.